Hi, Extra Time Podcast. Senior sports editor Kevin Jeffers here with also an editor of sports on the website, Jonathan Raymond. Hi, John.
That was a very official title you gave me. But hello.
All the titles mean nothing. We're just here to talk basketball because we're the basketball bros in the office. And the NBA playoffs are going on. Cleveland Cavaliers look awesome. San Antonio Spurs look awesome. Warriors, whoever else in the East has to play Cleveland. That's what it boils down to right now. LeBron James just looks unbeatable in the East. Absolutely 100% again. Is anybody going to challenge him?
No. No, I don't think so.
Good stuff.
yeah, the Cavaliers, they've really done a number on the Hawks. And I thought that the Hawks would... I thought they had a formula that might give Cleveland trouble, but...
I didn't. I absolutely knew they had no shot, and they've proven me correct so far. I just want you to tell me how right I was.
You were really right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. The Hawks played this kind of really active team defense, and they shoot a lot of threes, and they move the ball, and this was all a year ago, at least, kind of different from what the Cavs do, but now the Cavs just do those things, but better. And
yeah, that's just what it boils down to. The Hawks are excellent at collapsing the lane, but that's not going to work against LeBron James because he can collapse the entire lane and then throw it to one of three wide open guys on the perimeter.
And during the fourth quarter in game three, I don't know if they've been doing this or if this is a regular thing because I haven't been able to see them that consistently, but they did this thing, which for me was the first time really noticing it. They had all four of their other players. Channing Frye was the fourth in this equation, just standing out at the three-point line.
Yeah.
And LeBron would either drive on a helpless defender, and they would either have to collapse on him, leaving open Kevin Love or Channing Frye, who went like 7 of 9 from three or something. Or they wouldn't collapse on him, and he would just score. And it was the most beautiful, simplistic, unstoppable thing I've ever seen.
That's just it. Yeah. It's infuriating to watch when you're rooting for the other team. And they've now hit something like 600 threes in the last two games or something like that.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. And there's just nothing anybody can do to stop. Well, there's nothing Atlanta can do to stop it. They hung with them in games 1 and 3. And they just ran out of steam in the fourth quarter because they just don't have the caliber players that Cleveland does. Sometimes it's that simple. The team with the best players wins the game.
I don't know what anyone's supposed to do about what I saw Cleveland do in that fourth quarter. I don't know how you defend that. You know, double LeBron and then you leave one of those guys open and they're all hitting. It was Irving, Love, Frye, and J.R. Smith, and they can all hit threes, and they're all hitting threes really well. I mean, they've made... I looked it up yesterday. They were attempting the most threes per game in the playoffs far and away, and they're hitting them at the highest rate. Unless you can find a one-on-one defender who can hang with LeBron.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard, that's about it.
Yeah, maybe Kawhi Leonard, maybe Draymond Green, and that's your answer. But there's no one in the Eastern Conference that can do that. Maybe in the next round, Demary Carroll tries to do that. I don't think he can.
No, I mean,
maybe
LeBron just...
Justice Winslow can try.
No, he's just not big enough. Damari was just faced by LeBron last year, and it's a foregone conclusion, just like it is every year in the East. And I tell you what, man, they look good enough to beat Golden State.
Yeah, that's
right now.
That's the thing. Like they looked kind of good but not great throughout the entire regular season.
Yeah, they just sort of phoned it in.
Now they look like the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They've
really
looked
do.
The best team of the playoffs far and away. So,
I don't know. I mean, they're going to sweep their second straight series. Miami nor Toronto are good enough to win more than a game against them.
Yeah, I don't know if Cleveland's going to lose a game before they get to the finals.
Yeah, they're going to be really well rested, and this might be the year that, nobody outside of Cleveland really feels like this is a feel-good story or anything because of how melodramatic LeBron has been all year with his teammates. He seems to be a terrible teammate. But, man, when he turns it on, like he has been in these playoffs, like he does every year in the playoffs, he's still the best player in the world.
Well, that's the thing. In the last year's finals, when they played Golden State, he spent so much time posting up into a crowded middle.
Because
they had Mozgov
team.
Or Tristan Thompson in there, and Draymond and Bogut would basically occupy that space. And if you have no Moz, it's basically their version of small ball, which is better than I've seen from any other team's version of small ball.
Yeah, I mean, they basically have Tristan Thompson playing the Draymond role on defense anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but you take him off the court and they're better. Like, that's what I mean. When they had Channing Frye out there and he just stood at the three-point line with everyone else, that's a level of spacing that I've never seen before. And I don't know that any other team can replicate, because no other team has what LeBron can do with that space.
What did they give up for Channing Frye? Do you remember?
A second-round draft pick or something.
And they have to take on a pretty significant contract, but it was sort of an under-the-radar trade deadline move. And now he's been the difference in this Hawks series, Channing Frye, that is. And he could, you know, make a lot of noise in the finals if he continues to shoot lights out like this.
Yeah, it does become a bit like the Warriors small ball thing that they did in the last finals, which is that on defense, if you have LeBron kind of do what Draymond Green does, and you have Frye in there who's tall, Love is tall. They're not great defenders individually.
Love's awful defender. But he got posterized twice in that game by Al Horford.
And that's what they may find that that's an unplayable lineup against, if Stephen Curry's, healthy and at his best, they may need to bring out, someone like Matthew Dellavedova. And then the offensive beauty of that four wide thing they pulled the other night kind of diminishes. But
they have options.
Yeah, they're a lot. That's the key. They have many more options than they had last year, which is they just kept pounding it inside with LeBron until he was too tired.
They're healthy. They're versatile. And if they stay healthy, they're not going to go down without a fight in the finals.
No, I think this could be a lot more interesting. I think they've become a much more dynamic team in the space of just a few weeks, because like you said, they could kind of just wait to turn it on, and they weren't really at that level at any point in the regular season, but they were good enough. They got the first seed.
Well, let's go out west.
Yeah, they're at another level now.
Yeah. By the looks of it, it looks like this is going to be the last round for the Thunder, and there have been a lot of reports in the last couple of days that if they bow out in this round, Kevin Durant's gone, which is kind of how we saw it anyway. Where does he go that it completely transforms the team he's on? Like, he could go to Golden State or San Antonio and join a ready-made winner. Or he can go to Boston and be the man and be the last piece there, Miami or something like that. But I don't know. What do you think Kevin Durant should do?
I like the Boston idea. I think there's an infrastructure in place that could allow him to finally play in an offense that is a real offense. I just don't think it's going to – and I said this in our last podcast, and I've written this a couple times now, but – The Batman and Robin thing with him and Westbrook, it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be good enough. And there's no, third banana that they can bring in. There's no, the whole system in Oklahoma City is just, it's got a ceiling on it.
They've tried it by spacing the floor with their bigs and Ibaka. They've tried it with an offense first big like Enes Kanter, a defense first center like Steven Adams. The problem is at point guard, where it's just this tornado of a point guard, of a score first, ball first point guard that doesn't distribute the ball. He does everything else excellently, and he's the greatest athlete on the court every time he steps out there. But Russell Westbrook just seems to be the wrong type of player to pair with Kevin Durant, who can do everything himself.
Yeah, I think you need a more deferential point guard to go with Kevin Durant.
So maybe I don't
which
know
maybe
how
not
that
Isaiah,
would work.
Isaiah Thomas may not be the exact.
I mean, if you're the Celtics, you put him out there and you figure it out from there. And certainly Brad Stevens could do that.
Yeah, I think but, they, I mean, even the Marcus Smart could learn and maybe improve. I think he's a long way from being a distributor, yeah. but maybe, you know, he's young enough.
Well, I mean, if you're Durant, do you even want to go to a team with a big question mark like that? Or do you try to, like, team up with Al Horford and form your own super team with the Lakers? Or maybe they could both go to Dallas or Atlanta or some team that's just, like, a player or two short. Would that be even that big a step up from what he has in OKC already?
Well, that's the thing, because what he has in Oklahoma City is probably one of the five best teams in basketball. So, yeah.
But that's because he's there.
Because he's there, and he's there with Westbrook. But to get to the level that we, like, the new basketball greatness that is embodied in the style of San Antonio and Golden State and what Cleveland's doing right now, to get to there, I don't think, you know, who do you pair Kevin Durant with? You pair him with Stephen Curry or Kawhi Leonard or...
I think San Antonio is going to be the interesting option. They'll have to shed some salary to fit him there. And his two ideal positions are either the three where Leonard already plays or the four where Aldridge already plays. Obviously, they would figure it out if they had all three of those guys. But can you imagine a threesome of LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard? That's scary.
I can't even right now envision how it would work, but I have...
It just would.
I just... Yeah.
The ball would go in the basket.
Yeah, put it in Popovich's hands and let him mold it into something beautiful.
You're a Warriors fan, and earlier in the year you were saying, don't mess with this team. I don't want Kevin Durant. Why are you so stupid?
That's not exactly what I said. I didn't say I don't want Kevin Durant. I said, like you said there, that I was worried about messing with what they have. Because there's only so many shots you can take. There's only so many shots you can distribute. And as, you know, Oklahoma City has found, that's kind of their problem, which is you have two of the best players and they take all the shots, but it doesn't add up to much in the end.
What would be interesting if he does just play front runner and join the Warriors is the 180 that the public would do. Right now, the Warriors are maybe the most widely beloved and critically acclaimed team ever, and they would just turn into the Miami Heat of a few years ago, and they would be like the Los Angeles Raiders, the villains of the league, if they just added Kevin Durant. That would be an interesting dynamic for me.
Do you think that's how it would go? I mean, it's hard to say what the rest of the basketball public feels about the Warriors or would
feel. I
feel
like I speak pretty well for the basketball public.
Okay. You know, I don't know. Let me be clear. I don't think if Kevin Durant signed for the Warriors, they would fall apart. It's just... It would be a different dynamic in a significant degree, and it would take some adjustment period. I don't think they would go 73-9 again, and they probably can't in any case. So it doesn't, you know, that doesn't really matter. But there would be it would be a fundamental departure from the Warriors that we saw this year.
I think they would go 81-1 and lose to like Orlando.
Well, yeah, what would be the one loss in that scenario?
Okay, that's all the time we have. Thanks to Deep T for helping us produce this Extra Time podcast. You can find us on Twitter. What's our Twitter, John?
NatSportUAE.
And what's our Facebook?
Facebook.com/ okay. The National Sport.
Thanks, guys.